Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Laid. This is Stephanie, your host, and tonight is Guy Talk. And our subject this evening is disability ain't got nothing on us. That's our theme all month. And just as a community, we are often overlooked and underestimated. But that's a mistake, because when you look at our community, you find that we are a community of people who are talented, we have skills, and we are motivated people. And tonight we're going to be talking, I'm going to turn you guys over to your hosts, Don and Tyson, and they're going to talk about what motivates them. So, you know, let Don and Tyson in.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hey guys, how you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tonight, we're looking at ourselves tonight, and you know, we were talking about, I was talking about how we are often overlooked and underestimated, and I find when I look into the community, we are a community of people who have many talents, many skills. We do many things. We go out, we get involved in our communities, we work, we go to school, you know, so many things. And I just wanted to know, you know, what motivates you guys? I'll just turn it over to you guys and let you guys talk about what you're going to talk about. So I'm going to step out of the room for a minute and let you guys go for it, okay?
Sure.
Have a great show.
Yes.
And as people come in, I'll let you guys know, okay?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. See you later, guys.
Uh-huh. All right. What motivates you, Don, huh?
What motivates you? You want to go first, Mr. Tyson? Start it off.
You go first. Yes.
Well, I can tell you, what motivates me is several things that keeps me going and keeps me motivated. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that motivates me is being involved with people just like myself. I mean, when things start happening to you, you don't really realize what happened, what's happening to you. I mean, you think you're all alone, you think you're all by yourself, until you start reaching out into a lot of these support groups and things like that, people that have conditions that you're familiar with, people that are, you know, that you can feel comfortable with. And that's what really got me started, you know, especially when I started losing my vision, and I started hanging around people from a group called Project Challenge, and that really motivated me. That got me started, because before that, I thought I was the only one, you know, like this is only happening to me, but it's not really like that, you know. And, of course, other things started happening to me, too. Of course, I had to deal with a few amputations, and now I'm on dialysis. So I have a few things that I have to deal with. But, you know, just because you have a disability, that doesn't stop you from continuing on with your life. And life goes on after things happen to you. So you have to always be mindful of that, you know. And yourself?
Yeah, with me, one time, I recall that I used to play handball, but now since I just sit there and watch others play, I cannot play at all. But one thing is that I went to one tournament. It was the Coney Island, and the girl I was with was on the boardwalk, and she called at me, "Come on, Tyson, come on." I said to myself, "I'm not in front of you no more. I'm not on the side of you no more.
Mm-hmm.
I look behind you and I might just be there, you see? Might just be there. Take time and turn around and I just might be there." But once I realized that when I go to the tournament, I was the only person in the wheelchair, so I felt like I'm all bored, you see. I felt real uncomfortable. I never was, but it did not stop me. But as I looked around, I realized that I was the only one. But once I found access and IDCS, it helped me, so it made me realize that I am not the only one, you see. It
yeah.
helped to see someone in with the same situation as you.
Yes.
It helps
yes.
a lot. It helps a lot.
Yes,
yes. it does.
Yes. When mm-hmm. you're reaching out to others and you discover, you know, there's a whole other world out there. It's like, wow, you know, you're thinking like, well, at first, you know, at the beginning, when things first start happening to you and things start happening, you start thinking, wow, you know, I'm the only one that's going through this. And you know, there's a whole lot of people that are dealing with the same thing you're dealing with and even worse sometimes, you know. And they're going on with their lives. So it is a motivating factor. And I like being around. I enjoy people, period. I mean, if people are people to me, whether you have a disability or whether you don't have a disability, I just, you know, the people are people. I love people. You know what I mean? That's the thing. And I find myself every day as I wake up in the morning, from the time I wake up in the morning to the time I go to sleep, I feel I it's a natural good feeling that I feel every day of my life. And one can say, well, Dad, can you really realistically feel good? Because people have asked me over and over and over again, do you really feel good every day? And what is it that makes you feel good every day? You know, I have only thing I can answer is to say that you have to have an appreciation. You know what I mean? It's learning to appreciate the hand you're dealt. Because I believe life is like a big card game. And we all dealt a hand. So we have to play this hand the best we can, you know, and that's what I believe what keeps me going every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. But Don, when did it change for you? When got your injury? When your life changed for you and you noticed that your life had changed, you see?
Well, you know, it goes back a few years. Actually, my life was changing. I was still active, like, in terms of working and things. I was still going to work. Although my vision was going, I was diagnosed with glaucoma back in 1998. And I remember when the doctor told me, he said, Baker, he said, I'm sorry to tell you, but he said, you're going to eventually be totally blind. And when he told me that, it was like like a ton of bricks just came down on my head. You know, like really? Like, I mean, you mean to tell me I'm not going to be able to see nothing? I mean, I had to question that, and I had to, I mean, it was like, wow, how am I supposed to live my life without my sight? You know, I mean, all these years I've been seeing, and he said, hey, Mr. Baker, I don't know what to tell you. He says, I mean, you're a young man. He said, if you were 90 years old, it would be a different story, but you're a young man. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, I mean, I'm not going to be able to see anything. And you know, it didn't go, my vision didn't go overnight. I mean, of course, it was a gradual thing, you know. And as I learned different things, I said, wow, as I'm walking down the street, ironically, when I came out from the doctor's office, I happened to see a man coming down the street with the guy cane, you know, with the guy cane, you know, you see the guys with the canes passing around, and I said, wow, that's going to be me, you know, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to be doing this. But, you know, as time going on, I went into this denial stage, you know. So when you go into that denial thing, you don't really want to accept what's happening. So you just like, okay, you pretend like everything is fine, and it's not. You know, you notice like you're seeing less and less and less, and it's getting more and more difficult. And I'm still just playing a role. And when I got to the, it got to so bad where I was like afraid to cross the streets. When I would wait for people to cross with, you know, people didn't know that I was crossing alongside with them, but they didn't realize it because I would never really cross the street by myself. but that's how I was doing it for a while, you know, until the point, until it got to the point where it got so bad, then I just really had to stop working. And, you know, that's when the reality really, really, really came to head. But, you know, of course, the first year, when I stopped working, because I'm used to work. I've been working since I was a kid. And then I had to realize, I said, well, okay, now it's what am I going to do now? And fortunately, I stood sort of behind the scene for about a year. You know, I kind of felt bad. I didn't go into a depression, but I wasn't active. I wasn't going out. I wouldn't dare go outside by myself. I was afraid. You know, I would always have to go out with somebody and everything. So one day, my sister told me about Helen Keller, Services for the Blind, and that was changed. That was the course changer right there. You know, I started going to a support group, and they told me about this group called Project Challenge, and that changed my life right there, because I met some real cool people. They're like family members to this day.
Oh, okay.
A lot of them are still in contact with, so it's like family, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the deal changer right there for me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a big changer, yes. Once you get to meet two of the same illness as you see, it makes a big difference, yes.
Yes, indeed. That's the whole thing. Because and then you know, other things started to happen to me. I dealt with an amputation on my left leg. Had to deal with that. Then I had to learn how to walk all over again. You know, I mean, different things happen to you in life. You know what I mean? But when you learn to deal with, you know, when you learn to accept your situation, you're able to move forward. That's the key, you know, moving forward. And we all have those things in our lives. Sometimes, like I said, we all sometimes may think like we're by ourselves, and we're not. You know, it's just a whole other world out here, and all we have to do is be willing to accept ourselves for what we are and who we are. And you know, we want to feel sorry for ourselves sometimes, and those are some of the worst things you could ever happen to you, is to feel sorry for yourself, you know. Pity parties are the worst, because nobody, you know, feeling sorry for yourself, the only thing you do is just over and over again, you start feeling bad. You have to learn to accept yourself, love yourself. Now, loving yourself, I'm not talking about loving yourself in the terms of being self-indulgent or narcissistic or, you know, I'm talking about loving yourself and what you are and who you are and being proud of yourself. You know, that's the beautiful part about reaching out to others and others. No one can accept you until you accept yourself. You know, you can't expect others to accept you until you accept you. You know, and then others can, you know, embrace your condition. Embrace what it is that you have and what are you dealing with. Because you know something? You have to live with yourself for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? If you can't live with you, then who else can live with you? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Who else can be around you? You have to be around you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know?
Hey, guys.
You might as well learn to love yourself. Mm-hmm.
Guys, I see we have a couple of callers. I'm going to see if they want to talk, okay?
Yes, indeed.
Let me see if they want to talk. Welcome, caller 7329. Your last numbers of your phone ends with 7329. Would you like to talk?
No, I just like to listen. I can't seem to pull it up on the computer for some reason.
Oh, okay. All right. So I hope you're enjoying the show.
Thanks, Dustin.
All right. Okay. Bye. Caller 1588, Sasha. How you doing, Sasha? Sasha can't hear me. Sasha, are you there? Okay, I'm gonna put you back on hold then, and maybe we'll come back to you later. Guys,
yeah.
Listening to your conversation, I wanted to ask a couple of questions. Tyson, you were saying that when you you know, you go out to the handball tournaments and you're the only one in the wheelchair. And I remember you mentioning to me before that, you know, a couple of people recognize you when you go from back when you used to do the tournaments. How does that motivate you in terms of you might not necessarily be able to get back on the court, But, you know, does it motivate you towards other things, like doing other things, or you understand?
Mm-hmm. But it motivates me to get better, to give, but it's like some encouragement to get back on the court, maybe, you see. But now I find that it's starting to wear away. Uh-huh. I found out. Now I see that I am all right with the way that I am, you see. I can realize myself that I'm all right the way that I am. And other people just have to accept me at the way that I am. So now I know that I have to leave that group of friends that I had and create my own new group of friends, you see, that is the exact same way that I am now, you see. I'm just learning that I have to leave that to the side to make my main focus at all. That was my past tense. It's time to move forward to the future for me. Therefore, I realized, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so with that new way of thinking that you have, what are the new things for you? What new things are you now into or would like to get into and see for your future?
Now, I'm looking for a hobby. That's why I told myself I need to find a hobby for myself to prepare myself active more instead of this handball situation. I'm thinking about it now, and you see, but right now myself, I don't know what hobby is there for me to do, you see.
Okay.
In my condition, you see, what is it I can do besides just going to the gym? I really don't need that, you see. It's not for me what is essential. Because I go, but I don't want to make that my hobby, you see, because the gym is not something that's entertaining to me. It's something that I have to do. I know I have to do, yes. It's not what I want to do.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily something you enjoy or get joy out of.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, one thing I know that you've been doing is you've been doing the radio show. So,
Now,
that's a good thing.
This is a good thing for me because now I see that maybe the handbook is not my future. It's not for me. I believe the way that I am right now, maybe this is the way I supposed to be. Things would like to say, things work in mysterious ways. Maybe this is my way. This is my way. I just had to find my, I had to find my way also, you see.
I
had to find my way. But it's going to take time, just whatever. It will take time.
Well, you know, we're here to support you. Know that,
yes,
that we're here to support you. And Dawn?
Yes, indeed.
Dawn, are you still there?
Yes, indeed, I am.
Okay. And in terms of, for you, I know you used to do a radio show. Some of our listeners might not know that. You definitely have that radio voice, you know. and I'm wondering, before you went blind or you know, before your life changed, were you doing, I know you used to do music, but did you do things like radio and things like that before?
Well, I wasn't doing radio, but I used to do, you know, of course, I used to be rapping back in the day. I was DJing and stuff like that, you know. That was my life before, but that was the younger days. But then when I got older, I kind of outgrew the whole rapping thing. And then I moved on, and I started doing real estate, and I became a landlord, you know, those type of things, you know. I was really just starting out with the real estate stuff. But I was already diagnosed with glaucoma by the time I actually got into the real estate. But, you know, like I said, I went into that denial stage, and then I didn't want to believe that I was actually going blind. You know what I mean? So it was, like, really tough, tough thing to deal with. But unfortunately, I was just getting started when things sort of ended, you know, at the time. And that was a tough pill to swallow, you know what I mean? So I had to sort of get into things, you know, like I said, once I discovered Project Challenge, it gave me a whole other look at life because people were still going on with their lives. Although, yes, I wasn't able to do the things that I, you know, was doing previously, there's still a lot of things that I was able to do in terms of I was able to go out. I didn't think I would even be able to enjoy movies or whatever. But, you know, I've had movies and plays and ball games and I've been to the clubs and all types of stuff. So, you know, life is beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Life is great.
Your life
doesn't necessarily end because you have a disability, you know. And, you know, I might get the stares and stuff like that. People stare at you and stuff like that. But, you know, hey, I can't see them anyway, so it don't really matter, you know what I'm saying?
So I'm going to ask you this next question, and then I see we have another caller, and I want to let them give them a chance to speak if they want to.
Sure.
Has there been anything that else, anything new that you found that you are interested in or that you can do, you know, that your interests have taken you since you have been blind and since your life has changed? That's what I'll call it.
Yeah, well, you know, I think with my mission, I think my mission is really to get the word out to people who are going through difficulties dealing with disability. I think that's my new goal in life, to really get the point across and really try to address as many people as I possibly can and join as many groups that I possibly can and relate to as many people who is within ear range. I think that's what my goal is. I'm not looking to make, you know, the big bucks like I was before and do the things. I'm not really looking for that. I'm not saying that if the money comes my way, I'm going to say, no, I don't want to turn it down. But I'm not really looking for the monetary gain. It's really more like a people thing. And really, if I can help one person, that's phenomenal. You know what I mean? But if I can help several, it'll be even better. You know, that's what I'm looking to do.
Okay. So we have a caller here, 6321, or the last four numbers of your phone number. If you'd like to talk, let me know. Well, if I can get you on, well, let's see. Hold on. I have to wait until the number pops back up. But that so Don, that would essentially make you a motivational speaker. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, I guess that's what you call it, right? I mean, I never look at it like that, but I guess that's what you call it, though. Yeah, but you know, I just like to reach out to people, and you know, I feel look. What I want to do, what I would like to do, if my arms were long enough, I would love to just wrap my arms around the entire planet Earth, you know, and embrace the entire planet Earth, and really allow people to feel what I feel, because what I feel on a daily basis is phenomenal. You know, people will look at me and say, "Oh, you're blind and you're an amputee and you're on dialysis 3 days a week." And you know, you would say, "Well, Dad, you know, what you so happy about?
You should be miserable, Don."
Yeah, you know, like you know, what's your problem? But in reality, like I said, self appreciation is a wonderful thing. When you love, this is what I'm saying about loving yourself. This is what I mean about loving you. You know, I always say to myself, I love myself from me. Now, that may sound kind of arrogant, right? But, you know, in reality, I do love myself from me. I do.
We're going to have to put something together. But let me see if we can get this caller in, okay?
Sure.
Caller 6321, would you like to talk?
Oh, man, you know, I was just loving your show. You know, how you doing? This is Glenn. What's going on, baby?
Hey, Leon, how you doing?
I got Vanita on the other end. Say hello, Vanita.
Hi.
Hey, Ms. V, how you doing?
You know, I was just listening to the brother speak, and he was just offering so much hope, man. I mean, you know, this your radio show has to get bigger than what it is. I mean, because I feel something major happening here. The brother was so deep. I had a depressed day, but after listening to that brother, what was I depressed about? You know what I'm saying? He was just
that.
Very deep. So I just feel that your show needs to get bigger.
We're working on it. You got to keep calling. We're working on it, that's for sure.
And not only that, it also becomes addictive because now I'm looking forward to it. Usually, Vanita would call me and tell me, don't forget, but this time she didn't.
Oh, good,
beautiful, beautiful.
Right, I remember. And so it's just beautiful, you know. I've been on for the last 20 minutes. I don't know why you didn't see the number, but I don't know how to rotate.
I didn't. It popped up like about when I said you, when you know, that's when I finally saw it. Because we only have a certain number of lines that shows, because it's a free show, so we only get a certain number of lines that show. So this just popped up. I'm like, I'm surprised. It's usually only five numbers that show. Now it's six, so that's
okay,
good.
Well,
so if anybody else
is
out there listening, yes.
My last question is this. How can we make it bigger? Because it's really a beautiful show.
We got to tell people. We have to just keep working at it. I mean, these things don't happen overnight. We don't have a budget. So.
One more thing I wanted to say is, is it possible that we all could get together and form like an acting group or something? Put on shows or something like that.
Leon, talk to me. After this, I'm going to call you, okay? I'm going to call you after this because I'm working on something, Leon. I'm working on something.
Okay.
And I'm working on something, Leon. I'm going to call you after this. But, Leon, you don't know. You just boosted my spirits. You have no idea because I get a little down myself sometimes too, but this just really, you almost made me cry here, just knowing that you were feeling the way you were feeling and that this show helped to boost your mood. That really
moved me. Listening to brothers like yourself or listening to sisters and brothers like yourself, especially the brother that was before me, I mean, like you said, he wished he could take his arm and hug the whole world. And look at what this brother been through. Continues to go through. You understand what I'm saying? So when you hear this type of information, then we know for that one second, well, damn, I ain't got it that bad at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right, guys, that's it. We putting something together. Don's motivational tour.
If not, why not?
There you go, baby.
I was just telling Don today.
Love you guys.
I was just telling Don today, I called him before the show, to, you know, to make sure he was ready for the show. I said, you always sound like you just came in from taking a nice, you know, invigorating run on a nice sunny day. He always sounds like this, always.
That's good. That's beautiful.
Yes,
life
yes,
great.
Indeed.
I mean, what can I say? We all wake up. The minute you wake up and open your eyes in the morning, I'm going to tell you something. You're having a great day. You know what I mean? Because so many people didn't wake up this morning. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that we're all here, we're breathing, we're alive and well, and we're doing what we have to do. Listen, life is grand. I'll tell you something. There's no such thing as bad days, only bad moments.
All right.
I'll eat tomorrow.
I hear you. You want to say something, Nate? We got less than 3 minutes.
Actually, we only have 90 seconds left.
Goodbye to all my company and my team.
See you real soon.
Why?
Because we like you. Oh, we love you. Okay, that's even better.
Absolutely.
Come on, finish, Vanita. All right, guys, this is Stephanie. We're going to be signing off and just let you know we're here every Monday at 6 p.m. at www.blogtalkradio.com/laid. We have on March 26th at Axis from 5:30 to 9:30, we have Laid Live, Disability Ain't Got Nothing on Us, the more of the same that we just had tonight. We'll be doing it on March 26th at Axis, 1325 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan between West 111th and West 112th, and then we're going to turn up. We're going to party afterwards with the DJ. We're going to dance. We're going to get it on, guys. So I'll see you guys on Saturday. And if not Saturday, I'll be here next Monday. Bye-bye, guys.
Take care.